Hey guys, welcome back to Just Weebs. I'm here, your host, Onimaru, and I'm with Shocking. And if you guys were able to make it here today to the live stream, to the actual stream for our return, as the way it is intended, you know, this is the way we want you to experience this stream, then that's actually awesome. It's the optimal way. No, but seriously, if you couldn't make it to the actual stream, that's all good. We just want you to tune in, whether it's watching the VOD after or the audio recording. So we're really glad to be back. How about you guys? Did you guys miss us?
Crickets? Do we do a cricket sound effect?
Do I have that sound effect? I don't think I do.
That would be funny.
That would be funny. But yeah, no, we missed it. We were like, you know, we were like doing the whole like, because we were on a little bit of a hiatus. You know, we were busy like getting like married to our individual like partners.
Respectively.
Yeah, respectively. And we were doing that and we're like, we should try to record a pod, but it was like, it was nice, but it wasn't the same as having like a live audience, like you guys in the chat, you know, kind of letting us know what you think in the moment. So, but yeah, how have you been, Shaw?
I've been good. I wanted to give you a shout out for some good tweeting, because you don't have a Twitter addiction like I do, but the teaser of Not Dead Yet is probably the perfect way to set us up for coming back. So I had to give you props for good tweeting, good teaser.
My good tweeting only comes when I'm just like sitting there, like not even thinking about Twitter. And then I just like a thought pops into my head. I'm like, oh, that'd be awesome. I'm like,
exactly. That's how it works.
Yeah, no. Most of the time I go on Twitter and it's just like deep anxiety. I'm like, okay, cool, I'm done.
Existential crisis.
Yeah, it's like, what do I do here? How do you work this thing?
You got a nice comment from Gustavo. Congratulations to both. Thank you, Gustavo. It's good
Thanks
to see
so
you.
Yeah, good to see you. Good to see some familiar faces. Also, if you're by any chance new, you know, hey, we're glad you made it too. Again, it's mostly a live stream, secondly a pod. So if you're able to make it live, it's like super cool. But yeah, let us know if you're new, and if you're familiar, awesome. Glad to see you again. But yeah, what else have you been up to, Shaw? Have you watched anything good recently?
Either
anime or non-anime, it doesn't matter.
So I guess I have seen some good anime actually, but I became a bit of an Epic gamer. Whoa. the past couple months. I don't know how. It just happens. I beat Bloodborne and Breath of the Wild, and now I'm like probably halfway through Undertale. So going through the
hardcore gaming arc.
Yeah, I was shook. I can't believe I played Bloodborne. I didn't think I had it in me, but that was fun.
Yeah, like I don't think I have it in me to play that game. So
I think you can. Now that I have beat it, anyone can. The bar is lowered.
If
Shaw can
do it, I can.
I genuinely believe I'm like anyone can play. Okay. Anyone can play.
Hey, Bloodborne pod, why not?
Happy Halloween again.
Yeah, but that's cool that you like you really fell down the rabbit hole there.
Yeah,
like even with Undertale.
Yeah, that one's pretty funny. That one's cool to see.
Yeah. I see Tom in the chat. Hey, Tom.
Tom, good to see you. What have you been up to? That's the question.
I definitely haven't had like a cool like arc like you where I've just like experienced this whole new medium. Like I've just kind of been watching a bunch of different things, eclectic, you know, assortment of you know, anime, old anime shows.
That's like actually good though. That's like good in on brand for our podcast.
Yeah, I mean like for real, like we need to talk about Stranger Things season 4.
I finished it.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I caught up. Okay,
oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
No, yeah, my God.
We really do need to talk about it, but I think it's been all over everybody's social media and YouTube feeds for like the past 2 weeks that maybe we should spare everybody.
Yeah. Last time if anyone wants us to talk about that with people, like let us know, because last time we tried to do a live action podcast, it was fine, but like I don't think anyone wanted that. So if you guys want that, cool. But if not, me and Onimaru will just geek out.
I'll keep going. I have a lot to say about Stranger Things season 4. So
I would love to hear it. I feel like
Did you binge it all at once it dropped, the second half dropped in July?
No, I think I had really good timing though. I think the second half came in July 1st and I finished the first volume like June 28th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's a good, like a good kind of segue. You don't have to wait too long. I waited the month and then it came and then it was just like, I don't care if I'm working, I'm watching this all in one day.
So yeah,
I watched the whole thing. And I just picked up the second half of Better Call Saul, the final season. So just started
nice.
That. Well, you know, that's airing weekly. So
yeah.
But that's kind of it. So I'm going to not talk anymore about live action. Bore anyone, unless that's what you guys want. But we are going to talk about anime because, you know, that's what the podcast is that about. Right?
That is our brand.
It is our brand. And we're going to talk about like two of the biggest anime. I think, yeah, it's fair to say two of the biggest anime last season. And honestly, I would think I was only watching like three anime last season. So this is two of the three. So
I think I was two, actually. Yeah, I think I was two.
Yeah. It was Spy Family and Kaguya-sama season three. They were like, they kind of, especially Spy Family, like really took over. Like,
yeah,
just that whole season.
And yeah, like, that was kind of wild because I've been, I guess the quick background on the Spy Family lore is like, I think it came out in like 2016, maybe a bit later. That's probably wrong. I think it's 2019. It came out in 2019. And I started reading it from the beginning. So I was kind of a day oneer for it. But it came out bi-weekly, which is like a really interesting schedule of like essentially feeling monthly. So I would forget about it. But I've eventually let it build up for a bit after getting through like 30 chapters. I was like, okay, I'm going to let this build up and then binge it, which I did somewhat recently right before the season came out. And I fell back in love again with the series. Awesome. Love it. And it's really popular in Japan. Like the manga was really popular. Like I think it reached like 10 million sales, like very easily in a very interesting way, like just a huge, huge success. So I kind of knew it would be popular when the anime came out, but I didn't expect it to be this big. But I also think this is just kind of like the new way of anime getting big. It's just like they come out and then they're huge.
Yeah, that's true. And also like, but I also think like Spy Family, even though I actually never read it, I'd always see like panels of it. So I'd always catch like a funny or very adorable panel with like Anya or the family or something like that. And it always made me want to read it. And it would always be like kind of floating around like social media and stuff like that. So that made it interesting. And then the concept itself is like so cool. Like, and it's so like appealing that I feel like it can like strike, you know, a chord, like universal appeal. That, and also like what you said, now it's sort of like when an anime with that sort of potential strikes, you know, like if the production's good, it'll strike hard, you know, and kind of like go wide. So, but like Kaguya-sama was like season three was like super well received, but was it as big as Spy Family in the same season?
I think sneaky answer. No, but then yes. So I don't think it was as big because it was kind of like, oh, cool. Like Kagi is back. We're ready for this. Like we know what this is about, but it is like the third season. So it's not grabbing that many new fans, so to speak, because it's kind of like, you know, it's just the people who are following it, which is a very large number of people, but it's not like the initial new fandom grab. But I think there were two parts when it started getting attention kind of outside the fandom. And the first one was around like episode 5 when they had a guest animator come in with a new ED with that cool like breakdancing ED.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That one, because that kind of made the rounds. And then the second time, which is when it really took off, was for the hour-long finale when it was like trending worldwide. That's when I think it became Spy Family big.
Yeah. So. Yeah, no, the finale like definitely took over because that finale was phenomenal. And if you haven't watched it, you know.
Yeah. I guess if you haven't watched either, like, I don't know. Are we going to spoil them? We can maybe not.
I feel like, is there a way we can talk about it without spoiling it? Like, do we just say like, oh, hey, that finale was like super cool. And that thing with the thing was like nice, you know.
When they did the thing and then it's like.
Yeah. When Shirogane planned the thing and it came together, dude. Kaguya's reaction to the thing.
Heartwarming. So I think the good thing with Spy Family is you can't really spoil it. Like, there's no real spoiling Spy Family.
Spy Family is like not one that would get like spoiled too hard, but Kaguya being in season 3 and being such a pivotal arc, it's like, that's more of a spoiler.
That definitely spoiler for Kaguya. I feel like probably figured it out by now, but we can kind of talk around it. But
We'll do our best, but you know, no promises, no guarantees, because we are going to gush. Because I'm proud to say, as the episode title, you know, kind of says, you know, I was Kaguya-sama season 3 enjoyer and also a Spy Family enjoyer. So
you were an enjoyer of both.
Yeah, I enjoyed both.
I was also somewhat of a full-time anime enjoyer myself.
Whoa.
It's so funny. I don't know. I think, you know how this happens like every season where like there's two big shows, two pretty well-received, like almost you can... So now equally well-received shows and two that are like kind of similar, but not really. And that's kind of like Spy Family and Kaguya-sama. And I feel like people were kind of like pitting them against each other. And it's like, I'm enjoying both for completely different reasons. They're completely different points in their stories. Like, you know, I just enjoy having fun things to watch Friday and Saturday. Like, that makes me happy.
Being that I was like kind of, you know, I'm usually under social media rock sometimes. So see like bits and pieces. And that's intentional, by the way. I see bits and pieces. So like, were there people pitting both against each other? I thought like people had issues with both, but like it was like separately. It wasn't like they were actually pitting them against each other.
That might be a bit more accurate. I think sometimes you get the like, if someone was having an issue with Spy Family, I don't think it was necessarily because of Kaguya, but also like vice versa. Like, I think at the beginning there was a bit of comparison, but I think you're more accurate in saying that like if people had issues with either of them, it was way more like series specific and they wouldn't get compared too much. So I think you're right.
Yeah. And if in the chat, you know, differently, just let us know, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, cause like that's like, I saw that like, Spy Family, if we want to get into this, like I saw that there was like a lot of criticism like in the discourse towards like Spy Family since it got so big, and like I think towards Kaguya, I like maybe not towards the finale of Kaguya, I think everybody was happy there, but I think it came a little later after that, but we can get into that later. But but the criticism towards like Spy Family, I guess, was like people were just saying that, you know, it's like, it's not that deep of a show. People are blowing it out of proportion. It's overhyped. Like, it's kind of like, you know, not much of a plot or not much depth. Like, I don't know what it was, like something along those lines, or people were calling like certain episodes filler.
I didn't see anyone call it filler, thankfully, because I always get like somewhat of an aneurysm when something is called filler and it's not like actually filler. It's just episodic. The criticisms I saw was twofold. One, I think for the majority of the season, it was like number two on Mal for some ridiculous reason, which is like, you know, even if Spy Family is your favorite show of all time, which I think it's really valid if it's like your favorite show after you watched it. I'm a fan. I think it's totally valid. But that is such a Mal generated problem of like airing shows being compared to on the same level as like finished completed shows. So then people just start complaining about it, like whatever. It's such a, you know, insular generated like complaints. It's not a big deal, like it's not a thing. So song and dance, it happens like every season.
Like I could see like how it could set people off, but like I normally don't take it seriously because that always happens while a really popular show is airing. Like it just kind of blows up on Mal for like a bit, and then after it ends it kind of like it gets leveled, you know, it kind of falls like to a better, like a more, you know,
reasonable,
like less overhyped spot.
Because like me, very big Spy Family fan, probably like I'm probably a bigger fan than like 90% of the people just by comparison. Do I think that season one of Spy Family should be within the top 10 of Mal? No, it's like not even at its best. It's not, you know, whatever. So now I think it's in like the 20s, 30s, whatever. It's a bit more reasonable. But it's a very like it's a very cyclical complaint for whatever show is coming out. So I think it's not a big deal. I think I have seen some other criticisms of it just not being that funny, which I think is totally fair because I think comedies are kind of like an all or nothing kind of all or nothing stakes. Like, you either find them funny and enjoyable and entertaining, or you don't. And sometimes there's just no rhyme or reason for why one is funny and one isn't. And if you just don't click with the style or presentation of humor, then it's not good.
I feel like for me, Spy Family, it never like made me like laugh out loud, mm-hmm. like kind of funny, but I didn't watch it for that. I kind of watched it because it was like fun, adorable, and wholesome. So I consider it more fun than funny.
Yeah, I actually had, okay, keep going.
Oh yeah, no, with like, so there's funny moments, but it's mostly like it's fun, and that's mostly the vibe. Whereas like Kaguya has moments, bringing it back to Kaguya,
yeah.
that like genuinely make me laugh. Like,
yeah.
And I so find it more of a comedy. Yeah, go ahead.
I actually had some like gripes with the Spy Family anime in a very small vacuum because, you know, I love Spy Family. I thought the anime was really fun. I think it's a great series. So keeping all that in mind, I had some kind of beef with this season, and naturally it looked really good. It was, you know, high production value. They did a good job, but I noticed something that I think made the anime have a very different impression than the manga, which was interesting to me because I just recently caught up on the manga. So like, I'm very familiar with the content of like what was adapted and how it's presented. And I think the manga is a lot more clear-cut comedy. Like, it's very much obviously a comedy to me. And the way they adapted the anime, it kind of felt like a wholesome slice of life. And you might say like, okay, well, what's the difference between a wholesome slice of life with some comedy moments and then a comedy manga? And I think it's like the pacing of the jokes, the length of each scene. And I noticed, especially in, I think it was episode 3, it was the one where they go in for the interview, and that whole segment of like the entire interview segment where they're going in and like ridiculous stuff is happening in the grounds and stuff. And I noticed that like a scene that might take like 4 or 5 minutes, that's like a one page joke in the manga. So it's just a completely different pace, which is why I think a lot of people who are watching the anime,
they don't draw it out, you know.
They kind of draw it out, and instead of it being like jokes, it's like scenes that have the jokes, but they're not as like quick-witted.
So that changes things. So then, not being a manga reader myself, do you find the manga then, and are those scenes just funnier, like,
yeah,
with that timing? Okay.
Yeah, like, because I think a lot of it, sorry to cut you off, I think a lot of it is like, you know, obviously the point of a lot of the scenes are Anya can read minds, so she's reading someone's mind and reacting to it really quickly. Like, that's kind of the pace of it, and sometimes I think they make those a bit slower, and I think that emphasizes more of the scenes and the wholesome moments and, like, that kind of slower, comfier pace, whereas in the manga, it feels a bit more
snappy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, one of the episodes that was like kind of like a filler, even though apparently everything was manga canon from what I've read, was, and it did feel this way, was episode 5, which is the Lloyd Man kind of episode where he kind of like, I don't know, takes Anya on this whole like everything she kind of wants to do, like this whole sort of like, I don't know, like, he dresses up as the spy.
Lloyd Man.
Does all this. Yeah, Lloyd Man, and does all this stuff. But, like, that episode I heard was really quick in the manga. Mm-hmm. Didn't take that long, but they expanded it to fill up a whole episode when it was, like, really not that long.
Yeah, that was actually kind of one of the changes I was really cool with, because I think they expanded on it in a really fun, engaging way. So, like, the way in which they went so over the top with that was a lot more enjoyable, because I feel like they really made it fit the series. So I was totally cool with that change. I think that was just like, you know, good choice.
Yeah, I thought the production on that episode was like really, really, really good. Like, it was fun in that sense. But in terms of my investment, I was just like, okay. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
It's just another episode. But because I was interested, I was already excited to kind of like see like her going to the school and kind of like what was going to happen next. So it kind of like delayed that by a week, and I was like, all right.
Well, don't worry, we get a lot of Anya at school, so
so that was definitely delivered on the following week, so that was fun. So
when
she met Damien.
Yeah, Damien's a surprisingly good character. I like Damien.
He's interesting, he's fun.
Yeah. Gustavo has a really good point. That's the thing about an adaptation. The material can either be played straight or changes are made to expand the story. And I say to each its own. And I agree. I think sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But then sometimes the changes they make could work for people better than the original. So it's a case by case thing.
So bringing it back, so you think kind of like the fact that they reduced the comedy of it by kind of making it more wholesome is a little bit of a like a negative to the adaptation? Like, does it bother you a bit?
It bothers me a little bit because I think for a lot of people, the way others have presented Spy Family to them or the way they've passively engaged with Spy Family, as you kind of said, was like the reaction faces, the panels out of context, like the way everyone kind of expected it to be was like a comedy. Like I'm thinking like, you know, comedy, straightforward comedy. There were wholesome moments, but it wasn't like, it was a bit more sporadic. And I think a good example is like with Anya's character, like she's always cute in the anime, whereas a lot of times she's kind of like, you know, she's not always cute in the manga, which works better for comedy, but for that whole wholesome slice of life feeling, you know, it works better in the anime. But I think if people were going into the anime expecting a pure comedy and they didn't find the anime funny, I think there's a chance they would find the manga funnier. But if that's one of their big hangups, then I think it's totally fair to have that as a gripe.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I kind of still ended up, you know, I enjoyed it for what it was. So, you know, it kind of came and went quickly, but, and I felt like it left off at a point where it was like, okay, there's obviously like way more story to tell. I did want to see the dog introduced and I was disappointed that they left that for next season. So,
well, the good news is that we have the second core of the season coming out in fall. So,
yeah. So looking forward to that. So moving away from Spy Family for a bit, then Kaguya-sama, did you have any reservations about the season or were you like, this was like the best thing ever and it totally deserves to be number one on MAL above Full Metal Alchemist?
It's so funny being like a fan of both and being like, yeah, I'm cheering for Full Metal Alchemist's downfall as like both. I have both as like tens and I'm like, no, dad, like, do it, get its ass. But like, no, I'm like, do
get
it. Yeah.
Fuck
but,
that show. It's in my top 10. Fuck that show.
I think speaking of adaptation changes, I think this was kind of like not the exact opposite, but this is a good example of like when the adaptation just goes above and beyond and makes something that's like really next level special. Cause I've also a filthy manga reader for Kaguya-sama. This was the part that I was looking forward to the most and it more than delivered. It was amazing. I think they really just like went off every single episode, every single scene. I feel like they were doing something crazy. And sometimes you're like, you don't even need to dress the scene up. Like you could have just played it straight, but they just go above and beyond every time. Like everything has so much energy nonstop that like, I think I don't want to issue this as a challenge because you know, whenever you say like, there's no way anyone could be bored watching it, you have someone being like, I was bored, but I don't care. I don't care about the contrarian person who will be bored. I don't care. I think it's impossible to be bored watching the season. I think they just went above and beyond.
It's okay. I live with it every day. You know, my wife's like, what are you watching? What is it? I don't care. I love it. It's great.
The true married life is now going from like, you know, but maybe they have the point to like, I don't care.
It was funny because like, she was like sitting like next to me during the wrapping episode with Shirogane. And she was just like she like wasn't paying attention. And then like, she like turned around and looked in the middle, like while he's just like, it's a whole sequence where he's just rapping the whole time back and forth. And she's just like, what the fuck are you watching?
You're like, this is my thing. You got to understand.
Yeah. No, but I think like, yeah, no, Kaguya is like one of those that shows that every single season has topped the previous season. And this one especially, because the other seasons were like, they had like two or three arcs and like mini like things going on. But this is like the most focused season in terms of like, it's this whole arc. There's all these like character relationships. There's this like goal at the end. And we're all working towards that while having all these like fun moments like scattered in between. and like background characters that were kind of just there, like got brought up, like Shijo Maki,
who's yeah,
like really fun and adorable, and just all of that. That was like really, really cool. But like definitely, like you said, like a lot of energy, a lot of like. I haven't read the manga, so I've always heard like don't even bother because like the anime is like better. In terms of the adaptation and the production, like how it brings the scenes to life, and it does, like you said, so much more. And then secondly, I've been hearing that, like, okay, this is the last best arc, so at least they animated this right, at least they nailed this, because after this, rip.
I've got to say, I've been reading Kaguya, and I did the same thing of, like, I'll binge it, and then I'll follow it weekly a bit, and then I'll lose track of it, and then binge it again. I have heard that Kaguya has been going downhill from the get-go. I've always heard it's going downhill. And then I catch up on the content and I'm like, no, wait, this is still really good. That's happened legitimately three different times. Like three separate individual times where I've caught up and I'm like, no, this is still really good. And I think it's a perfect case of binging it versus weekly reading are night and day experiences. Like,
I definitely agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, if you're reading something weekly, I think you're kind of like overwhelmed with stuff that doesn't happen on a chapter by chapter basis. But then when you binge and catch up, you're like, oh yeah, this is awesome. They did all these things. So like, you don't have that wait in between, but yeah. Like I've caught up every time and I'm like, nope, this is still really good. This is still really good. And it's happened like over and over again.
So you will say that even the arcs after this are still good. Still
so holding. I'm probably behind by like, I might be behind by 20, let me double check. I'm behind like two arcs, an arc or two. Let me find it. I'm gonna find the exact spot because I know people will pay attention. Okay, so I'm at chapter 220. We're currently at, okay, I'm behind by like 40 chapters. So I'm behind by 40 chapters, but I have had that time where I caught up multiple times and it's still been really great. So I read one of the latest chapters, just kind of, I heard about it and I read it and it looked really good to me. So I think it's, you know, I think some people might not vibe with what's happening now. I think that's kind of fair, but like, I don't think it's really fumbled. People say yeah, it's fumbled, but I don't think it's fumbled.
A good friend of mine worded it as, yeah, after that arc, it gets weird. I'm like, okay.
It does, but not like, it does, but not really. Like, I think I'll put it this way. I don't think it ever really loses the like essence of what makes it fun.
Okay. Okay.
You know, because you can see, especially with this season, like they've always kind of hinted at like serious elements beneath the surface of the comedy, which I think is what makes the series as grounded as it is, despite being presented in such an over the top manner. Like, you know, the initial premise of like these two people who are very high functioning, very smart, very intelligent, very ambitious. These two people who know that the other person likes them and they're trying to convince them to confess because they have insecurities and shortcomings that they feel are too massive for them to make the first step. Is like, it's kind of a far-fetched concept, but when you actually get into why they feel unworthy of, you know, confessing or showing weakness or vulnerability in any way, once you get into the like psychology behind that, it makes a lot of sense. And that's when it starts feeling like really relatable. Like, oh, I totally understand why they don't want to make the first step and possibly get shut down or look weak because of A, B, and C. So
That's such a great way of summarizing it. Can you like be like the official synopsis now for the show? Like if I pull up Anime News Network, it's just you just saying that.
Thank
just
you.
Pay you to do that.
Shaw Anime News Network.
I think so. I think you got to do it. That was a good way of like essentially explaining the appeal of the show. Like, cause some people like don't get that. And it's like that's essentially it. You know,
yeah.
That's what makes it really good.
That's the tough part is like, you know, we all find our different things funny with comedy, but it's like what makes a certain comedy emotionally impactful or what makes the characters realistic or not frustrating, because it could be very frustrating very quickly. But like once I started understanding why they act the way they do and what was holding them back from being honest, I think it all makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I think we start getting into that, especially this season, with a lot of Shirogane content, which I think is great because I think he's a really underrated main character out in the general main character discussion sea of things. But I think he really diving into his psychology as like, he's really poor. He's in this rich school. Like, he's surrounded by all these rich people and like seeing the way he, you know, works on his own self-improvement because he's inspired by her actions and like the way that he inspires others around him. It's like really cool to see. It's like a very like organic development for him. And I think seeing everything happen, especially what we will see happen later down the line too, because I will get into it a bit more, I think is really gratifying.
Yeah, like I really, really enjoyed his backstory episode with how he kind of met Kaguya and saw her for the first time and how that like motivated him like all throughout to be like the person he is now. Like I didn't even expect that. I was like, whoa, okay, that's like really cool. Like that's very like touching how like in a way, like they don't know how they both sort of changed each other like for the better. Like she kind of seeing him like became more and being interacting with him became more open and like less cold of a person. And he kind of became more motivated to be her equal, which also does like set up an interesting dynamic where like they still don't want to make the first move because, especially with the finale in that scene, because they both, he still wants to be seen as her equal.
Yeah.
And it makes so much sense. Like with his backstory now, but now that you know it.
Yeah, like I see a bunch of people who I think don't think it's as like deep as like other stories, and you know that's always like a very, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? You know, that word is used very like hit in a very hit or miss way. You know, people.
But does it need to be deep?
Like, well, I think it's like deep is essentially what you make of it, and I think to me, like to some people, if they don't think it's deep, totally fair. It's a rom-com, but like what I see in the series is like people held back by socioeconomic differences and differences of upbringing that leave them like isolated from other people, which drives their actions. You know, it's, we're not talking about just like, you know, I'm shy, so I don't want to do this. Like there's levels to the insecurities that have, like real world
just
comparison.
Sorry to cut you off. Just because the situation itself is like pretty straightforward and easy to understand doesn't mean like that the feelings involved and like you said, the insecurities themselves aren't deep and complicated and aren't like are part of the factors that hold them back, you know, or you know, or challenge them to do better and kind of act the way they do.
So, yeah. So to me, it's always been. Maybe I'd say it's a deep series in that I think there's a lot of substance to it beyond the surface. I think, you know, if you're going to look for something beyond just like, haha, funny anime, cute girls, relatable like, guys, whatever, there's more to it than that if you look beneath the surface.
Yeah, because like I think what people are looking for when they say that too is like, at the end of the day, I'm not going to say Kaguya's trying to say this grand message, this deep message about life and all of this stuff that connects us or some philosophical thing. It's really at the end of the day, still a romance. Like that's the focus, you know, and it's how it goes about it. That is what, like you said, gives it substance.
Well, I saw this really cool, this is kind of related. I saw this cool, tweet that like screenshotted, in like excerpts of an interview with the mangaka, Akasaki. And it was kind of like asking a bit more of like, what kind of inspired you on this? And he was like dropping facts in these responses. He's like, in real life, it's not a matter of like, who's the best fit for each other. Oftentimes the most desirable partners get taken up first and whoever acts first is the winner. Like, and he was just going on about like all of these things about how like, you know, we all have aspects that we want to try and hide from each other. We're all essentially playing like mind games in subtle ways, even if it's not as over the top, but like, you know, you see that a lot this season with Maki and then like the go-to couple. I forget their name because they're just kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel so bad for her.
Yeah, I feel so bad
for
her.
She's just like, kill me now. Yeah. Please, end me.
But it's so, but he is true. Like if you, two people are interested in one person, if one person acts first, they're probably going to be the winner. Like you don't get, you know, taking your time does not often reward you. And then it's not always like the best man wins. It's like who's advantageous, who's willing to be bold enough to go for it. And there's a lot of I'll look it up, but like there was a lot of like, okay, this guy obviously has a lot of like very keen senses of awareness of like how human nature works and how relationships develop. So yeah. I think Nagisa and Shijo, but that's the other couple. But I think there are some everyday kind of, you know, maybe it's not like 18th century philosophy, but I think he has a lot of great insights on how modern relationships work and how they develop and like the insecurities that drive a lot of different actions.
Wow. Okay, I take it back. Kaguya's deep.
Too deep for me.
Sha proved it. Done. There you go.
I have to find the tweet. It was very interesting. I'm definitely paraphrasing it like terribly, but like it was really cool to see.
Sounds convincing to me.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like, yeah, because I think like to make a show like this or like to make a story like this, there's a lot that like the author has to understand. So even though it's not, he's not going to spell all this out, he needs to understand this as part of the psychology in order to make the motivation behind the characters and even the premise of the show, since it's love is war and it's all about, you know, like we were saying, like who strikes first.
Yeah. And I think that's what's interesting is that sometimes the most over the top anime have very relatable centers that make them so compelling.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
I want to find that interview.
Yeah, we should link that.
I will. That's cool. Tom had a comment that I know Tom is not a fan of Kaguya, but they mentioned, I often get annoyed that Kaguya gets such a great adaptation. I am happy for the fans, but it feels pretty bad that the only amazing romance adaptation is a shonen one. I think it's actually a seinen one. I know I'm saying seinen wrong, but I think it's seinen, which is not really proving your point any differently, but just a FYI. And then he said, what's even the best shoujo romance adaptation? Kimi no Todoke. But I guess this is a good time.
Go ahead. No,
this is probably a good time to plug Kare Kano, but I don't think...
Oh, I still need to watch that. Fuck.
You gotta see it. That's going to be a Onimaru fave.
I literally was considering it because, I was considering it recently, but I was like, I didn't get around
to it. It's like your dude. It's honestly probably my second favorite rom-com after Kaguya. I think it really snaps.
I think I read like top anime romances in Kare Kano. It was like a list of five and like Kare Kano was like on there. And I'm like, yeah, I need to get to this because...
Yeah. You know,
good romances, man.
It's really good. It's a really good adaptation.
But I will say to Tom, though, that there are worse shonen romances. there are far like more superficial shonen romances. So, you know.
We've all sat through those.
Like, even though I don't know, like you said, I don't know if Kaguya is a shonen romance, but if it is, I'm like, well, it's doing a pretty good job of, you know, not
it being, is like, seinen.
Yeah.
Okay. I double checked.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, which I think is fine, but I also think it's definitely one of my favorite romances. I think it's really great, and I think Kaguya and Shirogane are definitely a top three couple of all time.
Yeah. When Shaw says that, though, you have to believe it because she actually has them numbered, so yeah.
Well, because it happened. No, I was like going back.
I would say that, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that checks out, but I'm going to say it.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to say it. Don't quote me on the number.
Class Fact mentioned a lot earlier that this season of Kaguya was too much sex humor. What do you think about that? Do you agree with that?
I don't even remember the sex humor, to be honest, because
I do, but like, I don't know. I only noticed it in the moment, and then I just kind of forgot about it. But
that one episode with the when they were prepping for the school festival and they were doing like that weird ASMR with that was weird, but I don't remember any other sex humor in this season.
The one I'm thinking of is the whole episode with Hayasaka, Shirogane, and the karaoke, and it was like, you know, that they were going to do... She was making Kaguya think that they were going to, like, do it.
Yeah. I don't think that there was too much sex humor because they've always kind of had that element of, like, teenage sexuality. Like, that's always been a running theme, especially with the Nagisa and Shijo ship in the background and them all kind of like commenting on like their lack of understanding of sexuality here and there. So I didn't think that was too bad. But if I'm being honest, I think I don't really remember that much sex humor. The only humor that really stood out to me, you know, as watching on a weekly basis, like over 3 months, was the Chika and Shirogane humor, which is my favorite running gag of like her teaching him and then being scarred for life.
That got really funny this season.
That was so funny. Like, especially when she's
animals, like she kind of lost it. She was just done.
That was my favorite because they were like hinting at it more. He's like, oh, he's struggling. And she's like, I'm not going to help him. I'm not helping him.
And she was so warning people afterward, like, no, you can't do it. No.
It's so funny.
You don't even know. You don't even know the pain.
Here's a criticism I've heard that Chika was too mean.
Oh.
Because I guess they did not find that joke as funny as we did. But I think
get it. Because I guess they were like, oh, Chika, you know, she's supposed to be like the bubbly, you know, rainbow of
But that's
happiness.
Like the point, right? The whole point is she looks like the cutest girl ever. And then she's an absolute savage.
I found that contrast really funny because it was like jarring. I was like, oh, shit.
she's
not holding back. She's not pulling her punches.
That's why she's so funny to me. It's because she's such a savage. And then they got like Ishigami calling her out for being like a sociopath half the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny too. That was actually really funny. But my absolute favorite scene, actually, in terms of comedy, was the fucking like the two like coffee snobs at the stall for Kaguya. And they were just like commenting. I think it was coffee. Yeah, they were commenting on the coffee. Yeah. And they were just going in, like going ham on like just how like the taste of the coffee, the brewing, how it's not up to standards. Then Hayasaka does it perfectly. Then Kaguya is just like, you know, I can't lose. What's going on? And then she offers to make them tea. And then she gets it right. Then they and the guy like is really appreciating it. But then he like starts saying like, this tastes like tea, the tea of someone in love. Like you brewed this every day for the person that you love. And then Shirogane starts walking in. I thought that was just, that whole sequence is so funny.
That was pretty funny. I was never super big on the like ramen guy gag, but that one was pretty funny. I think I can't get over the rap scene. The rap episode is like the funniest episode I've seen. Like in anime.
Ever. Wow.
I think so. The contenders for funniest episode would also be.
Wait, which one was the ramen guy? Which one are you talking about when you said the ramen?
They had the running gag with like Chika getting ramen.
I think so. I don't remember.
And then
was that
like
last
the,
season?
Yeah, they had that was last season.
Okay, vaguely remember. Is that related to the kind of the random like coffee snobs?
I think they're supposed to be the ramen guys.
Oh, okay. I get it now. Okay. Cause I just thought it was random and I was just like, why are they here? This is really funny. Like, okay.
Yeah. So I think that was the confusion. But at least for me, I was like, oh no, not another ramen gag.
So you already like had dread.
I had a bit of dread
into it. I enjoyed it, but in terms of the Shirogane rap episode, I hate to be lame, but I don't think I found it as funny as everyone else.
Maybe because your wife was hating on it.
Maybe she took me out of it. Maybe I got to.
Maybe she because you
mean,
know
the
when,
concept of it was funny,
but
like,
if it's
the
like
actual, when, I was like okay.
When someone is like giving you crap for it, and then you're like, maybe it's not funny after all, and you're like, I didn't find it funny. Whoops.
Yeah, it wasn't funny. The animation was good.
I just thought it was hysterical because they have so many like factors of like him actually being good at rapping. No one expecting him to be good at rapping because they are so used to him being terrible and tone deaf and like rhythm deaf. Then you have Chika in the background who doesn't know that Hayasaka's disguise is actually Hayasaka. She still thinks that that's Kaguya's butler, so she thinks that Shirogane is like confessing to male Hayasaka. Funny. So she starts rapping about like them being gay, but everyone else like knows that they're not. So they're just like, what the fuck is she doing? And then at some point Kaguya starts doing like a Queen parody. And it was like, it was ridiculous. It made my life. I was like, this is it.
No, it definitely went in. It was over the top.
It was fun. It was a fun moment. I got to rewatch it then. I got to rewatch it unbiased. Unbiased viewing.
No hate zone.
No backseat driving. Okay. And then, yeah, no. And then I guess we should talk about the finale.
We did. So this is the finale talk, you know.
Yeah. So we've made it this far in. We're not going to do too much of it. I just thought, you already knew what was going to happen. I didn't even know. Like I knew he was setting something up, but I didn't know what he had planned. I didn't know how this was going down. And like everything was just, and the final sequence was just amazing. Like it's very rare in a romance anime or story that like that's not finished that something like this like would happen, you know, like way before like the ending. And I was like, oh shit, they're actually gonna do it. They're gonna go all the way with this. And it was awesome.
So you didn't know it was coming. When they announced that it was going to be like an hour, were you just like, oh, that's kind of cool. They're doing an hour. Cause when they announced that it was going to be an hour for the finale, I was like, okay, we're getting into it. Let's go.
No, like when they announced it was going to be an hour, I knew it was going to be big and I was excited. But again, I still didn't know, like, I'm just like, yes. Okay. Like, cause I felt like the whole season was building up to something, but if the last episode was only 20 minutes, I'm like, how are they going to wrap this all up? Like, it's like all of this shit has to go down. And then they announce like it's an hour. I'm like, okay, all right, this is gonna be it. So, was not disappointed.
I loved it. I think it was really great. I knew it was gonna be great, but I think they did a really great job. I think it's, I don't know. It was, without getting into it, it is the best.
They did a great job with Kaguya's expressions. Like you could, like without words, you could just tell, like she was just, even she was like, we were blown away.
Yeah.
She was also blown away. She was just like,
whoa. I think what is like the cherry on top of what makes it so great is that they did the breakdown of how he planned it all out and how he orchestrated the entire cultural festival to make that happen, which is essentially the entire theme of the series is like, the mind game aspect of planning out things in order to put yourself in an advantageous position to get the upper hand. And that's what we saw him do. Every little detail that they established for like five or six episodes in of like the small stuff here and there, the chase, the fact that he had a plan to make Chica just get the fuck out of there to go focus on something else because he had been thwarted so many times before is amazing. Once they had the breakdown for that, I'm like, this is really special. And it's special in the way that Kaguya is special.
Yeah. He's just like, I had to get rid of Chica. I'm like, yes. She ruined everything. And then you see her catch a whiff of it and you're like, no.
You're like, no. And I know.
It was great. No. And at the end, like, it's still like you're saying, it kept the theme of the show. He still ended up one-upping her and he still had the advantage at that point. But by that point, he did it so well that she couldn't care less. Like she really was just so unguarded. It was like, you know, at this point, just confess to me already.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's great.
Even though they still stayed true to not fully committing to like the confession because that was a big thing, like where he still wants to be seen as her equal. So like he can't do it first, you know.
He's
gotta do it first. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was really cool.
That was amazing. I loved that.
It was a very 10-10 moment.
10 out of 10 moment. So what did you give this season? Because I think you had already had season 2 in your favorites after we bullied you to make a favorites.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this season has to be like a 10 out of 10. I think it's either a 10 out of 10 or it's super close to a 10 out of 10. So, I mean, yeah. Maybe after I rewatched that Shirogane rap episode.
No hate zone. Yeah.
No, but I think it was a 10 out of 10. What about you?
So this is I knew this was coming. I was excited for it. This is the part in the manga where I gave it a 10 and where it became a favorite. So I was looking forward to this episode and I'm happy to say that maybe this is kind of cheating. Maybe not. But I think it counts. This is the first seasonal that I've watched like weekly while it was airing that I've given a 10. So I feel happy with that.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah. I feel very happy with that. finally could add the Kaguya manga to my top 10. I mean, Kaguya anime to my top 10. And now I'm like, this is it. We made it.
I actually like think a 10 also like makes sense for me. And I'm happy with giving it a 10 just because like I've always liked a good rom-com anime. Mm-hmm. But I've never had one that hit like every like checkbox and like was perfect in every way. Like there's some that have come close, but there's always been something unsatisfying or something missing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always been partial to them. Like, you know, I just want a good rom-com anime, and this like hit everything. Like I was super satisfied. So I'm happy to finally have a 10 out of 10 romance anime. So, but the real question is, right? Kaguya-sama or Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood for you?
So I've historically had Fullmetal Alchemist above Kaguya-sama, and this is one time when I do think I have to wait and see how the ending plays out. I got, because I have been burnt by too many manga actually fumbling the ending, and since I'm waiting essentially for Kaguya manga to finish, because it's going to be done in like a couple weeks, I think.
So are you doing it in this case specifically just because Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood was like completely finished, so you had the full story there?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be fair to put Kaguya season 3, which is unfinished, just that one season above like Brotherhood, which is completely finished, and you
have
a full scope of the whole story.
Yeah, I gotta get a full scope of how everything happens. Also, I kind of have like my favorites are kind of weird in that like I'm overdue to rewatch like over half of them, but I also kind of have like a, I don't know, maybe like a merit system for them where like if you've lasted longer in my favorites, then I'll move you up. And since I've had Fullmetal Alchemist in my favorite longer than Kaguya, it's kind of like the new kid on the block. I got to see which one feels more right.
Yeah.
But makes sense. I will say for the sake of Mal top 100s, because you know we all have opinions one way or another. If Kaguya stays top one on Mal, I think that's pretty fair. I think it's fair. And I think it's fair because I was talking about this with other people that I think the top one on Mal, no matter how people feel about it in their own personal rankings, I think it should be a good representation of the medium. And I think the Kaguya anime does a great job of showing the strengths of the medium, whether people are like, oh, it's like not deep, whatever, whatever. Casting that aside, it's very well directed. It's got great production. It very much is one of the, you can tell the series has a lot of passion behind it. And I think if you show someone a Kaguya episode, you're like, okay, this is anime. I get it.
Yeah. I agree with that. It takes the medium, it uses the medium to its fullest potential. It takes it to the next level because it's visually interesting, does visually dynamic stuff. The character designs are on point. It's like always trying to, it's very animated. It feels very lively. There's always like stuff that makes you want to like watch what's going on screen. It has comedy, has romance, has substance. So, you know, and it's easy to digest. So
100%.
Yeah. So I'm fine with Kaguya staying at the top, staying as the king of the anime. So
I'm okay with it too. We are full-time enjoyers here.
Listen, Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood had its time in the sun, okay?
It can be number two for a bit.
I know things will inevitably change, so you have to wait like a bit for the dust to settle to know if like it's truly going to stay on top. But I think, you know, it's definitely cemented itself in my favorites, unless, you know, the ending's really that bad. But
we'll see. Which I don't think it will be, but I don't want to jinx it because that's happened to me before.
Been burned before.
Many times before.
And then, like, bringing it back, I guess, to... So that's how we feel about Kaguya-sama. In general, back to Spy Family, like, super popular. Like, we're still seeing, like, memes and TikToks and everything related to Spy Family everywhere. A lot of excitement for the next core. You know, and that one, I'm, like... That, I think, is a fun show. Shaw now has made me interested in, like, reading the manga to see the differences. But it's, like, for me, it's, like a decent 8, you know?
That's what I gave it.
Yeah, like, it's, yep. I don't, like, I think it's good fun, like, but it's not, like, it's not Kaguya-sama Season 3.
No.
And it's not My Senpai is Annoying, because I think that's actually a good comparison.
That is a good comparison, actually.
Because it's like a little similar. It's got the wholesomeness. It's got the comedy. Although My Senpai is Annoying leans more towards romance.
Yeah.
But, which that's not like too much in Spy Family. It is a little bit. But yeah, I just felt like that was a little bit more charming. Just a little bit. Yeah.
And I think the difference is like this. So this Spy Family season was like a great seasonal to watch. And it's going to be one of my favorites of the year. Whereas like Kagi season 3 is an all timer. Mm-hmm. Like all time, like great season that like we will be talking about many years down the line.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like you think like this is going to stay.
This is going to stay. I think it's going to stay.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think that finale is going to stay.
That's going to stay in my mind rent free.
Yeah, rent free. Gladly. So
Ames is here, longtime fan. The real Ames, glad you've been converted as a Kaguya fan.
Awesome.
Glad to this so Ames brought up a really good question, which I think might be a good segue.
Sure.
Since we're getting close to the hard stop.
Yeah.
So Ames asked, why is it called Just Weebs episode 1? So we essentially decided to do like we're in season 2 of Just Weebs. So Just Weebs Zoku. So it's not really any, I mean, you had a bit more behind it if you wanted to explain it, but I always just took it as like, we're just, you know, we had hiatus. Yeah. We're just weebs. We had a hiatus and now we're coming back. Just, you know, this is like the next round.
My reasoning behind it, it's like pretty simple, but it was sort of like, I just kind of wanted to start numbering the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to try doing that just to also kind of keep track of how many we've done. And I also kind of felt like season 1 was sort of like us just feeling it out, kind of like just doing whatever we kind of liked. I mean, we're still going to be doing that, but like it was more of just us kind of like just doing anything, you know, that was like,
it was a bit of a test run.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a good test run. And we like wanted to kind of like focus in more and like really come back. Like, so I figured like, okay, let's just start numbering, like to make it like seem like official and like make it easier to keep track of. I was tempted to actually like treat like that first season as like season 0, since it was like a test bed and this would
prequel.
Be like season 1. And I tried mentioning it to Shaw, but then I realized, like, we quickly realized, like, it would just be really confusing to just be, like, Just Weebs season 1. And then, you know, it's like, what about the previous, like, what happened? And I was like, okay, let's just call it season 2. So that's
We had some really great episodes in the first season. So we I don't want anyone who is in the first season or any of the episodes that people enjoyed in the first season to feel, like, lesser because they're not in, like, the official season when we had some banger episodes.
You know, seem that way.
That's still
season 1.
we're just being weebs, and now we're in the second season.
Yeah, it's cool. We can have like our own seasons. You know, it's exciting.
So now we can have season 1 versus season 2 debates for our own episodes.
Yeah, like they kind of really fell off in season 2. You know,
season kind of mid. Yeah. Where is Giguk in season 2?
We'll have OVAs. We'll have specials. You know, we'll see. And then if something's non-numbered, you'll know it's something different.
Yeah. So that is a good hint. Thank you to everyone who's like subscribed and still subscribed during our hiatus. We've been kind of hinting at this for a bit, but once we get to 1,000 subscribers, we will know that we've accumulated enough Weeb fans to start doing some other content that we have in mind that are like Just Weebs podcast related, but also possibly a bit funnier and like a bit more out there. So we got some ideas.
Experimental content, like specials, we'll call it that, you know.
Yeah. Specials, OVAs.
Like a little more high effort. Like the podcast will still like be going, we'll still be doing the podcast, but we'll do some like higher effort fun stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely has to be fun. So we'll be working on that as long as we continue having your support, guys. But yeah, that's kind of it, like for the episode. If you guys have any like last few like questions, comments, let us know. Besides that, if you haven't seen yet, we do have like a monthly like calendar for July that we just put out on Twitter. So follow us on Twitter or just go to the pinned tweet on Twitter to see what's coming up next week and the week after that. Some exciting stuff that we're excited to talk about. Next week is Yuasa. We're talking about Yuasa. Yeah, so that's
yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, if you enjoyed the episode, if you like us, if you missed us, you know, subscribe, comment, share the pod, hit us up on Twitter. That's kind of it, you know. If you like Spy Family and Kaguya-sama, do not be ashamed, you know, whether you like to analyze anime or just enjoy it. It don't matter, because at the end of the day, we're all just weebs. So we'll see you guys all in the next one. Bye, guys.
Bye.